I love Lake Retreat Conference Center. It's so beautiful here. I have a hard job now because you want to look out the windows and you have to look at scary old me. But it's going to be wonderful. We're going to have so much fun looking at the Bible today. See, God's given us His precious and holy Word so we can hold it and then put it down on the table at home and let it dust for a while. Is that right?
No.
Okay, good. Make sure you were awake. Right. No, He gave us His words that we can open it up and learn lessons from it that affect the way we live our life today. And so we're going to be doing that together. And we're going to go through, in three sessions, the entire Old Testament of the Bible. 39 books. So they call it walk through the Bible. We're not really walking. We're a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's going to be fun. And it's going to be okay. So we're not going to spend a lot of time sitting down saying, well, let's look at the third word of this verse in the 12th chapter of that book. We're going to talk about the storyline starting in Genesis, going all the way through until it leads us to the life of Christ, which is what the Old Testament is all about. Pointing out our need for a Savior. So we're going to have a tremendous fun time doing that. But I want to kind of show you a little bit of the big picture of the Bible here. So I'll be flashing a couple of things up on the screen right now. Maybe. Let's see what you say. Okay, thank you. All right, here we go. So, the Old and New Testament, they make up the Bible. So we're going to learn something now for the rest of your life. You'll always know this. Are you prepared to learn something to impact the rest of your life? Everybody else in the room benefits, but it's all about you. Okay, so how many letters are in the word old?
Three.
Oh, you didn't just get up. You got it. Okay. Oh, okay. How many letters are in the word testament?
Hold on.
Oh, no. Come on, my toes.
17.
Back to math for you. 9. Very good. Okay. Here's the amazing thing. You slide the 3 and the 9 together and you get 39. Whoa. That's exciting. I told you. Your life just changed. Okay? The right column, the books of prophecy, and there are 17 of those. 17, 5, 7, you'd almost think someone knew what they were doing when they put it together. Okay. In the books of history, the first five books of history are called the Pentateuch. Penta means five. Tuk is what they call a stocking cap in Canada. Actually, Tuk refers to books. So Penta, five books. So the Penta is five books. It's also known as the books of Moses, the Law, the Torah, and multiple names here. The rest of the books of history, they put a committee together and they thought long and hard, what are we going to call these books? They're all a bunch of history and this and that. Finally came up after really thinking about a special name. They're called the Other History. Okay, and there are 12 of those. They worked hard on that one. Okay? Then looking the other side, the books of prophecy, the first five books of prophecy are called the Major Prophets. And then, below that are the 12 Minor Prophets. It has nothing to do with their importance, major or minor. It has to do with how big the book is. It's purely about its size. There is wonderful, incredible teaching in the Minor Prophets, even though they're small books in the back of your Bible. Some people call those books the White Pages, because they get read so often, they're all brand new and they don't have any marks on them. Okay. So, anyway, that's the structure of the Bible put together for us. Now, before I start in here, I have to warn you, though, this is called Christian aerobics. We're going to be moving as we learn. So when we start the story in the Old Testament, we know where to start because it says, in the beginning. I love it when it's obvious like that. In the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. But you could almost just say, in the beginning, God. You see? We can spend days thinking about that. God always was, He is, and He always will be. An amazing, amazing thing. And that just draws me right to like 1 Colossians. Where it says, God is over all, He's in all, He's through all. He always has been. It's an amazing thing. So the book of Genesis starts in the beginning, God, and He created everything there is. So we look around a beautiful setting like this with the mountains and the water and the every now and then blue sky up in the skylights and all this beautiful stuff and great people around us, and we can just say, thank you, God, for creating this beautiful world that we live in. After He made all the things around us, the pinnacle of creation was He made people. And the uniqueness about people are they were made in God's image. And He breathed life into them. And we are set apart from all of creation as uniquely made in God's image. It should change the way we view people if we think of them as being image bearers of God. Now, does everybody act like they're an image bearer of God? No. But God placed the seed in all of us. It says we are whole. He wants to fill the house. In the beginning, God. So God took creation, He put it all in place. He took Adam and Eve, that first man and woman, and He put them in a lovely garden like this one right here. Just beautiful. Well, it's the only thing we have. Okay. And He said, don't eat fruit from that tree in the middle. And you know why it was a banana? It was so appealing. He couldn't help but eat it. Yeah. All right. I promise you, the jokes get worse. But you're so used to it, you'll laugh anyway. Alright. So, they took that fruit and immediately sin entered in the hearts of man. There was separation from God. And all kinds of curses fell into place. They had to leave that beautiful garden and they were separated from all that God had made and the way He wanted to walk in fellowship with them. start learning all this, we're going to put our hands in front of us, and we're going to make the world that God made, and we're going to say the word creation, kind of like this. Creation.
Creation.
Okay, this is audience participation time. Here we go. Creations. I'm looking around the room, checking things out here. A couple of you have a very small guy, but... And some of you haven't heard about Columbus. You know, the world is round. Creation. We have a big God, and we need to make a big world. Here we go, all together.
Creation.
Isn't it a great way to know your neighbor? That guy should have showered today. Anyway, here we go. One more time.
Creation.
What do you want to do with your hands then?
Down.
Let them fall. Fall. Creation, fall. And sin entered the world. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. They started making babies. And right then everything changed, didn't it? Okay, because babies are interesting. But anyway, and they had more and more. Pretty soon there were lots of people all over the place. And God looked down the world he made, and all of those people, and he said, this is terrible. Because when he looked down there, he started looking inside their heads. okay. Ooh la la. Right here. ago, Nissan, Honda, Kawasaki all went off on an island and built cars and motorcycles. And then they separated these nation groups all over the world. And you've heard of some of them. You know, Russian, Italian, Thousand Island, Blue Cheek, over the salad dressing. But anyway, different nation groups were all over the world as God spread out the people as he asked them to. So when we do that, we're going to put our hands over our head, and we're going to open up the doors, and we're going to say, nations.
Nations.
Now, this is a great way to get to our neighbor. Nations.
Nations.
Okay, so we've learned four things. The first one was,
nations fall.
Nations. Let's have a little practice. All right. You don't have to stand on your chair. Here we go, all together.
Creation falls to the nations.
Can you go faster?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Creation falls to the nations.
How about faster? Here we go.
Creation falls to the nations.
Can you do it backwards? Let's show you how. Creation falls to the nations. Okay. I'm two, three people around you. Practice it three times. Wednesday, though, and they're bringing Oh, please don't do this. This is so cool.
The pearl!
Okay, now, this is not the pearl of the Orient. I've been there. Okay, Shanghai. Now, this is the pearl of Puyallup. This is my granddaughter, and she just rocks it. She's awesome. She's about 5 months old, and I think she's already, going to Harvard or something, I'm not sure. His grandfathers have to say those things. All right, but anyway, this family lived a long time ago. They really didn't look like that. And they lived in a country in the Middle East, long ways from here. And the way it's going to help you is we're going to take that map, and we're going to put it on the floor underneath you, and you are going to be seated on the map. So on our map, this direction is going to be north. If that's north, that will be
south.
This would be
west. East.
Fortunately for us, it's the real directions. Sometimes you get turned around in churches and farmers in the room are kind of having trouble. Anyway, so that's the
north, south, west, east.
Okay, that's your credit.
Southeast.
And down here in the southeast is the city where this family lived. I told you you were in the right spot. Come on, Steve. What's your name?
Xinyu.
Xinyu?
Yeah,
Xinyu. Fred? Okay, alright. So, I want to change your name. Okay. No. Do you see what the Persian Gulf is there?
Okay, yeah.
There's a little city above it. Spell it.
Ur.
So can you spell it?
You are Ur.
Yes, okay. So whenever we point at Ur, it will really help us if you would stand up and just point at yourself. So, that traveled through the Tigris and Euphrates that came up to the city that looked just like this microphone. Okay, it's called Herod. So we're just going to point there and say Herod. Okay, so how long this family lived?
4,000 years.
The Dead Sea is one of the most fascinating bodies of water on the planet. It is the lowest place on the planet below sea level that isn't below the sea. Okay? It's like 1,200 feet below sea level. And all the water runs in from the Jordan and other rivers, and there's nowhere for it to run out. Did you get it? Okay, so it evaporates out, and all the minerals stay in the water. So it becomes almost like a syrup texture. Have any of you been there? It's really amazing. 40% of your body stays out of the water. You know, the ocean has 3.5% salt in it. The Great Lake of Salt of Utah, about 20%. Sea of Galilee is like, you know, 25 or 26%. I mean, it's just so. I saw a picture of a guy lying on his back reading a newspaper, floating out there. It's just very different. When you get out, it's like, I gotta wash this off. It's like, you know, I got invaded by something. But it's just very different. And nothing can really live in there except they found some little microscopic things that you don't want to know about. Because if you can live in that kind of water, it's not normal. Okay, so anyway, so this was the Sea of Jordan River, Dead Sea. Everybody from like about here, this way, wave those hands over here. Those are the main waves of the Mediterranean Sea. Very nice. Okay, show me a hurricane. Okay, very nice. All right. So those four bodies of water surround a little skinny country. It's not very big. It's like from Olympia to Everett. You know, and from like maybe the Olympic Mountains to the Cascades, it's not a big place. But like history seems to just always cross roads right there. And that's where God planted his people. So that little land is known as Israel. Israel. So we just trace those bodies of water in the air and we say, Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea, Mediterranean, Israel. God said, Abraham, Sarah, this is it. Settle in and enjoy the land that I promised for you. They go in there and he said, Abraham, I want to give you a vision of what I want to do. In the vision, he said, Abraham, you are going to have so many children, it'll be like stars in the sky and sand on the beach. That's a lot of diapers. Abraham and Sarah looked at each other and they said, wow, we have zero kids. It's such a long ways from zero to the stars in the sky on the sand and the beach. And so they said, well, let's give God some time to work. He was 75, she was 65. No problem. After a while, they decided God needed their help. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess God, you can't handle this, so I got it. How'd that turn out for you? Not so good. It didn't turn out so well for them. So they did what many people in the area did. There's a couple chairs up here if you want. It's shaped just like you. Okay. All right. And they took Sarah's servant, an Egyptian gal named Hagar, and brought her into the home and said, use her for a surrogate mother. Because Sarah couldn't have children. And so Abraham and Sarah, Hagar, had a little baby. It was not that God planted and grew up. And it caused problems that are still blowing up the world now, 2,000 years later. That is not a good legacy. That is not a good legacy. So, this was the land of
Israel.
Take your left hand. Bring it up to your left eye and say, Ishmael.
Ishmael.
Israel.
Ishmael.
Hey, Ishmael came into the family, and everything went sideways. Lots of trouble. Sarah was all upset because it wasn't really her kid, and on went. About 13, 14 years later, the Lord returns and says to Abraham again, it's now time for the child I promised you. Abraham is at this point 99 years old. Sarah is a spring chicken at 89 years old.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about tabloid material. You can see this in the grocery stores. You're going out. 99-year-old man and 89-year-old woman pregnant. And don't forget to buy the Cheetos. Anyway, so Sarah is in the tent and she's hearing this, and this is what she did.
Israel, Isaac, Esau.
I have really good news for you. We're not learning all our names. They look like, you know, we're stealing second base or something, but I don't know all that stuff. But anyway, we're going to learn son number 11. His name was Joseph. And I'm thrilled to let you know that he is here with us today. It's exciting. So exciting. Thanks for volunteering. Come here, Joe. This is little Joe, Joseph, okay? Everybody say, hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Okay. You were Dad's favorite. You had 10 older brothers who knew you were Dad's favorite. What's that sound like? Good for you, it sounds like trouble. They put dysfunction in families. Okay, right there. And Dad, he was so excited. He gave you a special note. You can name it a first one in your days. Okay.
Good news, Joseph, and bad news, Joseph.
The good news is you do get to go back home. The bad news is in 400 years and you're going to be a mummy. Let's give it up for Joseph, all right?
Stuff going on in your life, it's painful.
God is the same yesterday, as he is today, and he will be tomorrow. No matter what you're experiencing in this moment, the God of Joseph is the same God that we have today, and he will carry us tomorrow. Trust in him. Trust in him. I think that's one of the most powerful lessons in the book of Genesis. That we can trust in God. Now here's how God flipped it all around. A famine came in the land of Egypt. Joseph's brothers are sent by dad, Jacob, down to Egypt to get some grain so their family could not starve during the famine. Guess who then sells them the grain? Little Joe.
Yeah.
They didn't recognize him. But God saved his people, the family of Jacob, by Joseph going to the difficult time. His hand may be doing something special in your life, maybe it was hard. And he may be unfolding and unwrapping and revealing something that will change your whole world if you just trust in him at all times. So finally we say, Jews, the yarmulke on the back of your head, Jews, Egypt. Joseph, Egypt, Jews, Egypt. And because you asked so very nicely, let's stand up for the whole day. Turn your name and say, I'll help you if you help me.
Have it.
And then say, and I need help. Okay, here we go.
Creation falls.
And he learned through some really good friends who kept telling him how horrible he was. four chapters. Thank you guys for coming over to cheer me up. And finally, he just questions this, he questions that. And finally, God's voice comes in. Hey, Job, by the way, where were you when I separated the land from the water? Can you go to the places where the snowflakes are formed? Can you take and catch with a hook that big old dinosaur? And he starts asking all these questions, and Job finally just goes, God, I have no right to ask you anything. I just am humbled in your presence because I have no response to who you are and what you are. And God restored to him all he had before.
And more.
Okay. I don't deserve a high five. Well, you guys all have those prayers. I didn't know you were shout out to me. Okay. All right. So, astounding story of God's faithfulness. And the message we remember with Job is that we're in good hands with God. You're in a great place when you're in God's hands. Okay, so this is the next book. It's the book of Exodus. They're getting ready to leave Egypt. That's what we're going to talk about next. Interestingly, if you look at some of the expressions of their faces, they're not so sure what's going on. What have they been doing for 400 years? They've been in slavery. Okay? 400 years. They did not have a lot of time to build boats and rafts and take swim lessons so they could cross the Red Sea. They're a little nervous about it. So the thing that bothers them the most is some of them are going to have to leave their mummies. That one really stinks, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. All right. Alright, so, So, they're down in Egypt. Who's down there?
Jews.
They're in Egypt. They're there for 400 years. So we had 4,000. Our standby fallback is always 400 years. They're 400 years, and after only 400 years, they cry out to God for a deliverer. Like, hello? 400 years later, God, we need help. So God sends them to deliver. It's so cool that he's here with us today. Thanks for coming on out here. Thank you.
Hi, Moses.
You try to hang on this. Okay, all right. Okay. Come on. Thank you. Because you can't do this. You see, only part of it.
Their house has already got the blood, but they're on inside.
Oh, they're painting their door right now. Oh, they're still coming in with theirs. Wow, their blinds are all closed. Their door's painted. They're not going out anymore tonight. And then just a little ways over, the Egyptian houses had none of that protection. They did not have the warning. They did not have the blessing of protection from the destroyer who came to the land in God's direction. And that night, God sent the destroyer to the land of Egypt. And the firstborn in every home died. From Pharaoh down to the commonest person. Being a firstborn child, I don't like that part of the story very much. Bad not living with my two brothers, but then they would have had it all. But anyway, Pharaoh said, enough. Go. Leave. And they fled and left the land of Egypt. So, we just put our arm out and start picking bugs off and say 10 plagues. Well, the last guy up on the aisle, we'll squeeze him up later. 10 plagues. Passover. 10 plagues. Passover. They left the land of Egypt. They were heading off.
And then Pharaoh comes back.
Okay. I'm going to cut up a little bit here, okay? Because sometimes you're right on, sometimes you're like, Alright, so anyway, we're good though. I'm okay, okay? And I do like the bracelet. Okay, so anyway, they went to the Red Sea and they couldn't cross it. And to beat it all, there's this little glint of sparkle in the back, and they realize Pharaoh changed his mind, he's coming with his army to get it. Moses, yo, Mo. To bring us out here to kill us? What's up with that? And God provided them a way through the Red Sea. He parted it right before them so they could travel across. So after we say Passover, it's Red Sea.
Red Sea.
Oh yeah! Red Sea. They get to the other side of the Red Sea. The water closes behind them on Pharaoh's army, and Moses and Miriam do a happy dance. Daughter said the rider, they were thrown into the sea. Yeah! They danced and parted. They were so excited because God provided a way out. And they started journeying, not directly up into the land, but they headed off a little bit east. And as they traveled along, well, they looked like this. I'm thirsty. At least we had water in Egypt. So God showed Moses a rock. Take that staff, strike that rock. Enough water came out of the rock to meet all the needs of 2 to 3 million people. And I'll tell you how I came up with that number in a little while. It's a lot of water. Okay? So they had water. They traveled a little bit further. Then they came to Moses looking like this.
Mother!
Water is good. But I'm hungry. And God said, well, I'm going to provide for you the manual daily bread to eat every day. You're going to get up in the morning, you're going to go outside your tent, and you're going to be lying on the ground. Pick it up, just what you need for that day, double it up before the Sabbath so you don't have to work on that day. The next morning they got up and they went outside and they go, what is it? And for the next 4 years, that's what they call it. Because manna means, what is it? Is that funny? What is it? For 40 years. That's funny. Alright, so they had water. They had, what is it? They traveled along. The person they had was.
Water!
I want some meat. McDonald's is closed. My quarter pounder is asking too much. So God had some quail to a flyby. Quails are those little birds that bring it off their head. So anyway, they were flying by. They were catching them in baskets and going behind the head, behind the head, behind the back. We got a bunch of them to spread them out and drag the meat. So they had lots of meat. And God was not mad at them. God was saying, I want you to understand that I can meet your needs. Just like he wants us to hear today, that he can meet our needs. He said, I brought you out of Egypt. I took you through the Red Sea. I've given you water. I've given you what is it? I'm giving you. You can trust me. And then he led them to a place called Mount Sinai. So Red Sea, Mount Sinai. Look at the clock here. What can I do? 4 minutes. I'm really fast. I'm going to do that. So tomorrow night I'm going to start here. But remembering that his fingerprints are all over our lives today if we just do our stuff.